If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 7. The 7th chapter of Romans. Something in human nature makes us want to go to the extremes. A weakness from which Christians are not totally or wholly free. Since we are saved by the grace of God, some will argue we are free to live as we please, which is the extreme of license. And then we cannot ignore God's law. Others argue we are saved by grace to be sure, but we must live under the law if we are to please God. Which is right? One or the other? Well, the extreme expression here is of legalism. Paul is going to answer to the first group in chapter 6, and the second group will actually be answered in chapter 7. Because in chapter 6 last week, we saw that we are to reckon the old man to be dead. And if you remember just for a moment, in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, remember where Paul says, "Shall we now that we have this grace of God, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Now that I have been set free by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, can I live as I please and do whatever I want and not worry about any consequences?" Paul says, God forbid. God forbid. There is no possible way that any child of God that has come to the knowledge of the truth of God can live as he pleases. Why? Because we want to please God. We want to please the Lord Jesus Christ with our lives. Many of us tonight will find ourselves in chapter 7. Chapter 7, it's a very interesting chapter. It speaks of the personal pronoun, I, myself, me, and my, many times. For example, when he uses the personal pronoun, I, 30 times he uses it in chapter 7. Me, 12 times. My, 4 times. Myself, 1 time. So when we hear these personal pronouns, this is a picture of a defeated Christian living and being what? Ruled by the flesh, not governed by the Holy Spirit. The word law is found 23 times in this chapter, speaking of the Mosaic law, the law of God. Those that believe that we should live by the law of God, they become very self-righteous. We cannot live by the law of God. We live by the grace of God that God has given to us so richly and so freely. In chapter 6, Paul told us how to stop doing bad things. In chapter 7, he will tell us how not to do so much good things. But he's going to show you your heart. He showed me my heart. You are not justified by keeping the law, he argues in chapter 7. What he talks about here is that you cannot be sanctified by keeping the law of God. The law of God is what is the rule that convicts me, and it points to my sin, and it shows me that I need Jesus Christ in my life. The law is a schoolmaster that points to Jesus Christ, that convicts me and shows me my sinfulness. So when Paul begins in chapter 7 to write, in chapter 7 verses 1 through 6, he gives you the authority of the law here. And he will use an illustration beginning with chapter 7 verse 1. He says, "Or do you not know, brethren," speaking to the Jews, "for I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives." Paul the apostle is saying here that the law was given to the Jew. It came through Moses at Sinai when the Ten Commandments were given. And there is no one that can live according to the law. The law not only points to Jesus Christ, but the law will show you your sinfulness, that you are guilty before God. So what Paul does in verse 2 and 3, he's going to give you an illustration and an example to show that the law has the power over a person as long as you live. You cannot get away from the law. It's like a marriage. Look what he says in verse 2. For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. You see? When you take the vows in marriage, and you say, so help me God, you know, I do. For better, for worse, so help me God, I do. Then what are you doing? You're actually making a vow between you and God that you are willing to spend all of your life with this woman or with this man. Before God, as a witness. But if the husband or the wife would die as a child of God, what would happen? Could you get married again? You bet. As long as your husband is dead, like the law. Look what he's going to say. Verse 3. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she married another man. Now, we're not going to give you a marriage lesson tonight. But Paul is actually using the illustration and the example that a person, as long as we live, we have the law of God before us. Now he's going to expound. Look what he says beginning with verse 4. Therefore takes you back to what he just said. My brethren, speaking out to the Jew and to everyone, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ. Now, what does Paul mean that we have become dead through the body of Christ? Well, in chapter 6, we talked about what? Crucifying, not only crucifying the old man to be dead. But here he's talking about being crucified with Jesus Christ. It is no longer I that live it, but it is him that is living through my life. I am dead to myself. I am dead to sin. Because the body is of Christ. Christ died and rose again. And through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have life. And remember, we talked a little bit about baptism. That baptism doesn't save you. But baptism is like a grave that when I go into the water and I'm taken under the water, it's actually a type of my burial with Jesus Christ. And coming up out of the water, it speaks of resurrection life and newness of life, Paul said in Romans 6:4. It's a symbol. It doesn't save you. And so when we come to Jesus Christ, not only do we come by faith, but I am now crucified with Jesus Christ. It is no longer I who live it, but Christ is living through me. How? By faith in Jesus Christ. That's how I do it. Look what else he says. Therefore, my brethren, you also have become dead to the law through the body of Christ, that you may be married to another. That is a new relationship to who? To Jesus Christ. You die to yourself, now you're married to who? To Jesus Christ. To him, Christ, who was raised from the dead, that we should bear the fruits to God now. Now in this new relationship that we have in Jesus Christ, he's actually saying that through the love of Jesus Christ, I don't have to live in the flesh anymore. I don't have to. I make a choice. I can live in the flesh or I can live in the Spirit of God. It is actually where the Holy Spirit now has come into my life and the Holy Spirit governs over my life, and by an act of obedience to God through faith, I do what is right before God. Or I can do whatever I please. I can sin. I can fornicate, I can commit adultery, I can lie, I can cheat, I can kill, I can do whatever I can if I do not want to be obedient to the Word of God. I have a choice to make. There are so many Christians today that are living a carnal life. And the reason they live a carnal life is because they're not willing to die to themselves, and they're not willing to be crucified with Jesus Christ, and they're not willing to be obedient to the Word of God as the Word of God has been given to us. We have a new relationship with Christ. We're married to him now. Through faith, by grace, it is not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God to each one of us individually. And so Paul wants us to understand that as we are married not to another, it is not only my relationship with Christ, but again, this is the proof now that I am what? Abiding in Jesus Christ, according to John 15, 1 through 7, and then Galatians chapter 5, 22 through 26, where now the fruit of the Holy Spirit is love and gentleness and goodness and all these things that God has given to me because I am a child of the light, no longer a child of darkness. And yet, why is it so hard for people to walk by the Holy Spirit? It's disobedience. You can obey or you can disobey. Paul's going to let us know a little more here. Verse 5 of chapter 7. For when we were in the flesh, the sinful passions which were aroused by the law were at work in our members to bear fruit unto death. I mean, when we were living in the flesh, hey, we were dead and we were on our way to hell. And what are the works of the flesh? Well, according to Galatians chapter 5, if you have your Bible, turn with me for a second. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Paul says here, "For I say then, walk in the Holy Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Notice what he says. In the beginning of this chapter, as he's wanting to speak to us now concerning walking by the Holy Spirit, he's letting you know that I say unto you that if you walk by the Holy Spirit, that you don't have to fulfill the desires of the flesh. Why? Because the lust of the flesh is against the Spirit of God, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, then you're not under the law. And again, here's what Paul is declaring. We used to live according to the flesh. We were disobedient. We were terrible. We didn't care if we sinned against God or not. But now that we've come to Jesus Christ, what's so important here now is that the Holy Spirit has been given to me now in my life. And the Holy Spirit is that little alarm in my heart and mind that tells me when I am going to sin against God. I mean, that's just the way it is. We were in Israel one time and, you know, they were serving communion in Israel in this place that we went to, and they serve real wine. Real wine. And they give you the bread. And, I mean, my problem has never been drinking, so to me it wouldn't even matter, right? But the Holy Spirit ministered to me that I couldn't drink the wine. And I mean, I felt really bad about it because I just couldn't. And I thought, you know, here's a situation where I have to make a decision. Nobody's around, so I can just, you know, drink it and feel pretty good, you know, later on. Having communion, you know how that is. But the Holy Spirit was so incredible that he kind of pricked my heart a little bit. He said, "Now you're a bishop, you're a pastor, and yeah, this is Israel, but in America, you know, we don't serve wine, we serve grape juice." And the Holy Spirit began to minister my heart, and I said, "You know what? I can't drink it." And so they gave me, you know, a little bit of another kind of juice. Tequila. I'm just kidding, no. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But they gave me this kind of like grape juice, and it was kind of cool. But you know, a lot of times people say, "Well, I didn't know I was guilty." The Holy Spirit is to tell you what's right and wrong. And you see, the law has come and has pointed to our sin and says, "You're guilty, you're going to hell, but I'm pointing you to who? To Jesus Christ." And if by faith you come to Christ and you begin to obey the Word of God, then what you're going to do? You're going to be sanctified, justified, and you're going to go to heaven. Why? Because we obey the Word of God. But to those that are walking according to the flesh, they bear the fruit of death, not life. That's what's really important to know what Paul is saying. Verse 6, look what he says. But now we have been delivered. Yeah, notice what he says now. But now we have been delivered from the law. We're not under the law anymore. Having died to what we are held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Holy Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. You You see? We're not the way we used to be. Paul the apostle here is saying, I serve God now, not in a legal base, but according to the Holy Spirit in freedom. In freedom. I don't have rules and regulations, do's and don'ts. I know what's right and what's wrong. I make a decision in what I want to do. That's what Paul is teaching us here. The Holy Spirit has come, not to set up rules and regulations where we become legalists, but we are free in Christ. Free in Christ to do whatever I want to do. And when I don't do those things that I don't want to do, it's because I do not want to be brought under the bondage of any one thing that will destroy my life. I want to please Him with all my life. That's how you check your conscience. And that's important. Look what else he says. Verse 7. The ministry of the law now. What shall we say then? Here's another question. Is the law sin? Certainly not. Notice Paul here is very concerned about the law of God. He's talking to the Jew and to the Gentile now. You see, the law reveals my sin. The law shows us, notice, shows us where we have failed in sin and how we need the Lord Jesus Christ in my life and to have His grace upon my life. That's what the law reveals to me. So is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. There it is. You would have never, ever, ever known sin except because of the law of God. The law of God convicted you. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. You see, that's in the Ten Commandments. We would have never known that if we had never read the law of God. Thou shalt not covet. Here it is. So he wants us to understand. And of course, coveting here, when he's talking about it here, is he's not only just thinking of having to steal something or to have a strong desire. It is actually all sin. But if you think and you lust in your heart and in your mind, you know, I mean, I don't go out and commit adultery, you know, literally. But if I look at a nice girl and I look at her and say, wow, you know, she's really nice. And I say, wow, I start coveting after her. You know, Jesus said, even if you don't have her in your mind, in your heart, you already had her. You committed adultery in your mind and your heart because of the law, you see. Whoever looks to a woman with strong desire is just as guilty as the person who commits adultery literally and physically because of the law of God. The Holy Spirit brings conviction. Then in verse 8 he says, but sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desires. Notice the lust of the flesh, greed, all those things. For apart from the law, sin was dead. And I can remember, I told you before I was a child of God in the world, that I did a lot of things that I really didn't feel guilty about. But the first time I heard the word of God and people began to pray for me, the last 2 years before I became a Christian man were the worst 2 years of my life, because everything I did, I felt guilty and convicted. The Holy Spirit began to work in my life. And now as a child of God, I don't know about you, but I can get away with nothing. I get caught all the time. It doesn't matter what I do. Somebody gave me $20 the other day. I gave them $20 and they gave me change back for $20. And the Lord, I didn't count it until I got to sit down. I started counting and I had $10 more. And I thought, should I keep it? And I said, no, I'm going to go give back. So the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. I went and gave it back. Hey, because we're sinful. We're sinful. We can do whatever we want to do. We have a right to do whatever. Give it back or keep it. Buy yourself something else. So we have the Holy Spirit constantly there. Look what else he says. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, produced in me all manner of evil desire, for apart from the law, sin was dead. But I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Notice here. That is, whenever we came to that place where we were lusting, and not only we became convicted, what do? Immediately we went to the cross of Christ. Lord, my heart is evil. I've been having these 30 thoughts in my mind. And what do? We repent. And what does he do? He cleanses you. He washes you by his blood. Because we are now not only regenerated people, we have been born again of the power of the Holy Spirit. We're not the way we used to be. We are totally a different kind of person that God not only has raised up by the resurrection from the dead, as we've been risen with Jesus Christ. And if we are risen with Jesus Christ, then this is the way we should be living now. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 6 tells you that. And many times when we're standing there and the devil comes along, what does he do? He begins to not only play with your mind, but he begins to beat you down and he begins to condemn you. And that's why Paul will say in Romans chapter 8, 1, therefore now, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is not only a new creation, but what does he say? There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned anymore. Because I'm not going away from the cross. I'm moving all the time toward the cross of Jesus Christ. Because I want to do what is right in the presence of God. But not always do I want to do that. You see, there's the flesh and there's the spirit. There's a constant battle between my soul and my flesh. Look what else Paul says. Verse 10. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. So that is when Paul realized that the law was spiritual, it made him guilty. Just like it made me guilty. The law of God. Verse 11. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it killed me. So the law requires the penalty of death. The law here is the commandment of God. It deceived me and it killed me. That is, we cannot become righteous by our works. Only through what? Through faith in Jesus Christ, I can become righteous. Not by works, lest any man should boast. And yet how many people are trying to become good by doing good works? And it doesn't work. It just condemns you. And it makes you even guiltier. And it gives you a self-righteousness in your life. Self-righteousness. Because you're trying to do it all yourself instead of allowing God to do it. Verse 12. Therefore, the law is holy. And the commandment holy and just and good. It is not the law, but it's me who is the problem. You see, it's not the law of God. It is me the problem. Problem with what? With sin in my life. And my life condemns me because of sin. That's what Paul says. The problem is not with God. The problem is with you. The problem is with me. It's our sinful nature that makes me an enemy against God. And then Paul says, has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment, the law, might become exceedingly sinful. You see? So the law is the one that brings me to conviction. Points to the cross of Jesus Christ, points to my flesh, points to my desires, points to my sin, and I can't get away from it. Verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but here it is, but I am carnal. I'm not perfect yet. I'm not in heaven yet. Look what Paul says. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, soul under sin. You see, Paul did not always know this, but now he says, I know now that I am carnal and soul under sin. And then look how Paul speaks here. He speaks about his struggles with his own carnality in verse 15. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. How many times you find yourself like Paul? I want to do right, but I blew it. I sinned against God. Man, I try to do everything so good, and man, I failed. It just shows you what? How much more we need Jesus Christ in our lives. You can't do it on your own. And yet how many people tonight are trying to do it on their own by, you know, I'm going to pray 5 times a day and I'm going to read the Bible 3 hours. And, you know, you get into all these works things and what happens? And you find out that you're not as spiritual as you think you are. You failed. It's by faith and obedience to the Word of God through Jesus Christ. that we can do all this. I cannot do anything apart from Jesus Christ. And there are so many people that are trying to do it. Verse 16. If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. So trying to please God through the flesh is what? It's frustrating. Totally frustrating. The real me wants to please God, but my flesh wants to do what? Wants to displease God. I mean, a temptation comes and it looks kind of good. I do want to please God, but man, what an opportunity here to sin against God. And you have the choice to do what? To obey or to go ahead and do it. And then you have to think of the consequences. For whatever a man soweth, that shall he reap. So Paul says we are in a little warfare between the spirit and flesh. We have to live here in this flesh. And this flesh is always trying to bring me down. Always trying to destroy me. But the inner man is controlled by the Holy Spirit. It is a life of obedience where I die to myself. And I say I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. It is no longer I, but Christ. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, and you have to come to this realization, there is nothing that dwells good in me. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, what is good, I do not find it. That is, the desire to pray and to serve God is there, but how many times I don't pray and I don't serve God? It's there, but I don't do it. For the good, verse 19, that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Notice what Paul said, that I practice. Socrates said, know yourself, which is something that philosophers constantly come up with. And yet when Socrates said, know yourself, he's the one that committed suicide. He could never find himself. But as we come to the scriptures, we do find ourselves. And when I find myself, I know one thing. There's not one good thing about myself. You see? Not one good thing. That apart from God, I can do nothing. And if I try to live apart from fellowship and communion with God, I'm going to be destroyed and eventually end up in hell. I'm going to be deceived. Unless I come and I submit my life to Jesus Christ, and I say, Jesus, here is my life. I want to give you my whole life, totally, completely, fully, and you do what you want with my life. What is that? That's laying down of the will of your life to God. Look what Paul says, verse 20. He repeats again. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You know, that little baby in the womb already has sin. You see? I mean, we're all born in sin. And it is only through the power of the Holy Spirit, through regeneration, not through baptism, not through good works, not by joining the church, not by making rules and regulations, that you're going to get to heaven. It is when you come to the place of the age of accountability where you repent of your sins and you come into a relationship with Jesus Christ and fellowship with Him by being regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit, where you have a new man now and the old man now is dead, that I can realize, hey, I know that I was lost, but now I want to be obedient to God. Look what he says, 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me until the day I die. The one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. My inward man wants to love God, wants to serve God, wants to worship God. I mean, I want to pray more. I want to read more. I want to be spiritual. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Notice that. What's that? Your flesh. The flesh is always trying to take rule over the spirit. But the spirit now is greater than the flesh. You see, there are three things that constantly will be until the day we die. The devil, the world, and the flesh will be constantly against you, and you'll have to fight against those things until the day you die. So why not make up our minds now to submit my life to Jesus Christ And to know that apart from Him, I can do nothing. And if I obey God, God will bless me, God will use me, and God will do tremendous works in my life. But if I disobey, I'll be unhappy, I'll be miserable, I won't have love, I won't have peace. I'll be destroying my life physically, emotionally, spiritually. And it's not until I finally come like Paul to the place where he's going to tell us in a moment. And I realize, you know what? There is nothing good in my life. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And then this is what he said. Here's the key to all of us here. Here it is, no self-help, no improvement ever helps anybody. It is until you come to your own personal knowledge of Jesus Christ and to your own personal life that you can say like Paul this, "Oh wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" You see, to the point of despair, when I cease and surrender my life to Jesus Christ, the victory will come when I realize that the victory is only in who? Jesus Christ. Period. He's the only one that can set us free. Look at verse 25, what he says. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. You see, my victory is in the cross of Jesus Christ, and God sets me free by His Holy Spirit in Romans 8:1. So now I have this new relationship with God. It is not a law relationship. It is not a carnal relationship, but it's a spiritual relationship. Therefore now, he says, there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Holy Spirit. If you walk in the flesh, you're going to die. But if you walk in the Holy Spirit, you're going to be free. And God is going to bless your life. And you're going to have peace with God tonight. Father, we pray that, Lord, as we step now into chapter 8 of the book of Romans, that you would teach us about the walk of the Spirit. And Lord, how we can prosper through the Holy Spirit in submitting our whole life and deeds and all of our appetites, Father, to crucify them before the cross. And Lord, I pray for your people. I pray for my life, God, that you would help me in the areas of my life where I'm failing to submit and to surrender it and to crucify it. Not to make excuses for my sin, Lord, but to crucify it to the cross. And to realize, God, that the victory already has been won by Jesus Christ. When He went to the cross and He died on the cross for every one of our sins. Father, I pray for those that are here tonight for the first time. Those that are visiting. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior tonight, somebody brought you here, you came on your own. I want you to know tonight that Jesus Christ is wanting and willing to forgive you and cleanse you and wash you from every one of your sins by His precious blood. The first thing that He wants you to do is to recognize that you have sinned against God. And once you realize you sin against God, then He wants you to repent. And once you repent, He wants you to come by faith, to put your faith and trust in Him. And then He'll save you. He'll write your name in the book of life. And He will give you eternal life. He'll take your sins and He'll cast them as far as to the east or the west. And He'll bury them in the deepest part of the ocean. And He will remember them no more. No more. They'll be gone.